In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, if you have your Bibles, please turn there. Let's start in verse 9. The Word of God says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. By the grace of God, I am what I am." Paul felt, of course, that he was the least of the apostles, like he said, because he persecuted the church of God. He killed believers. An apostle was a master builder. It was not a killer of believers. And all of a sudden, this man who was a killer of believers, who dragged people, imprisoned them, even after he became apostle, there is no reason for us to think that these people got out of prison because of it. Can you imagine being an apostle knowing that there are people today in prison because of what you had done, who are suffering for the very Christianity that you are now professing and preaching, and yet these people were in prison at the same time because of it? I can't imagine what that must have been like to have that in your frame of reference. And so he said, "I'm the least of these apostles. I'm not worthy really of what they are because of what I have done." But then he said something different. He said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." The fact that he was a persecutor of Christians did not disqualify him from being used by God. He was what he was by the grace of God, and by nothing else but the grace of God. Now, a believer may look at themselves and say, "How can this be, God, that you would ever want to deal with me? How can you ever use me? Because look at the way I am. Look at what I'm really like. If you knew what I was really like..." You ever like have that thought toward people? "If you knew what I was really like, right, then you would know that I'm not worthy." But God does know what I'm really like, and He says, "You are worthy. And it's not of my own effort, but it's from the finished work that has made me worthy. It's the blood of the Lamb." Never say in the wrong sense that you're not worthy. In the natural man, none of us is. But never say from the wrong sense that you're not worthy, because Christ has made you worthy. The blood has made you worthy. The reason why God loves me is because I'm worthy of God's love. Not because of the natural man, but because He made me. Because He died for me, because He cleansed me with His blood, because of what He has done for me and in me. Not in my righteousness, but in His blood He has made us worthy. And so never be weary or afraid to enter into a calling, to express your portion, to reveal Christ in yourself because you feel you are unworthy. Never feel like you cannot talk to someone, that you cannot sow in, that you cannot have a portion in Christ because of the way you are, perhaps on a bad day. Those things do not make you unworthy. They mean that you are human, and they mean that you need the blood. But they do not make you worthy. Be careful about that. We are what we are by the grace of God. We are what we are by the grace of God. Have you ever seen someone try to impress someone? Why do they do that? Because they want to be somehow worthy. You see this with young people sometimes. You find a guy who likes a girl, or a girl who likes a guy, and suddenly they try to be impressive to them. And they try to be worthy. But this is not how it is. And in real relationships, that's not how it works either. But with God, most definitely, this is not how it is. I don't live before God and I don't have God in me and God doesn't use me because I have impressed Him. God uses me by the grace of God. Now, when Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, I have to understand the fullness of what he is saying. He is saying that it is by his divine unmerited favor on the one hand, but he is also saying that it is by the throne of grace on the other. In other words, it's by divine unmerited favor that I have been chosen, and it is by the throne of grace that I enter into it. So I have to think about the grace of God in the fullness of what it actually is. On the one hand, it loves the unlovely. On the other hand, it is because of the throne of grace, a governmental order that is in the heart of a believer. And so I have to be very careful not to talk about worthy or unworthy, but I simply live in the portion that I have before Him, and I am what I am by the grace of God. I think one of the things that challenges believers at times is living in their portion. And what do we really do with it? Sometimes we feel like we are not sufficient for a certain thing. And sometimes we think we are too sufficient for something so small. And both of them can happen to believers, and both of them have happened in the Bible. Paul was thinking to himself right there, I am not sufficient for something like being an apostle. I was a persecutor of believers. I have hurt people. I was not sufficient in this. And he said, I'm really too small. I'm really not righteous enough to be in this position. But then he answered through the Holy Spirit, I am what I am. Right? I am what I am by the grace of God. Likewise, it is possible for me to feel that I should be more. That my portion is too simple. And this can happen to people also. Like it is not enough what God has given. It is not enough to be this or that. It is not enough to perhaps be in some churches an usher or maybe a Sunday school teacher. It is not enough. And this is also a problem. Live in your portion. The body of Christ needs your portion. Never get into the position where you are trying to be somebody else's portion. And that can be taken in a number of ways, and it can be applied properly in a number of ways. On the one hand, never try to be a portion for somebody else, and never try to make somebody else your portion. If you do this, you are asking of them something they cannot possibly be. Because David said it correctly in Psalm 33 when he said, who have I in heaven but you, O Lord? And who have I on earth but you? And David was saying, there is no other portion for me but the Savior. There is no other portion in my life but God. He is the only one who can sustain me, the only one who can satisfy me. Nobody could satisfy David apart from God. Nobody can satisfy you apart from God. We don't always know that. We sometimes think some person can bring me some sort of fulfillment or satisfaction, but it doesn't work that way. They are not made to. And so I must never try to be a portion for someone, and I must never make someone to be my portion. If I do that, I will be disappointed because they cannot fulfill that role. On the other hand, when I say have a portion, like be a portion, I say express who you are in Christ. Express what He has given you. Don't try to be another portion. I remember a while back, I was still fairly young. I was like my first or second year in Bible college, and some of the guys who had just recently been ordained, they tried to be Pastor Stevens in the pulpit. and they would take on Pastor Stephen's mannerisms, and they would try to preach like just like, you know, the whole intonation and the whole nine yards that Pastor Stephen's would do. And I don't want, part of that is okay, but then they would try to pound the pulpit and, you know, the elevated voice, and it didn't work for them. They looked a little bit silly. It didn't work because that wasn't their portion. Don't try to be another portion. Be the portion that God has made you. Can you imagine if Joanna tried to be the pastor? I mean, it wouldn't work really well. Right? It wouldn't work, but she is at the same time an anointed song leader. And she can lead songs like nobody's business. Why? Because that is a portion, that is a gift God has given her. And He quickens her with that, and the Holy Spirit flows through her in that expression. But if she tried to take on the role of the pastor, she wouldn't do too well, because that's not what God had given her. Likewise, if I tried to be the song leader, we'd lose our church in about 30 seconds. Why? That's not the portion God has given me. I have no gifts in that area. I have no expression of Christ, of the Spirit's moving in that area. And so I cannot do it. If I tried, it wouldn't go well. And so I remember as a believer that I am what I am by the grace of God. Live in your portion. Live in your portion. Don't look up yourself and say, I am like so, I cannot. Don't look at yourself and say, I am like so, I'm too much. Live in your portion. You see, the portion is given for the edification of the body of Christ, Paul told us. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when we express our gifts within the body. And in chapter 14 also, it is for the edification of the body of Christ. If I don't live in my portion, how shall Christ's body be edified? The portion that the believer has is Christ's expression through that person of who He is in that aspect. Can you imagine a Christ who had holes in Him other than the ones in His hands and feet and side? Can you imagine maybe He had a big hole in His shoulder? Piece of his thigh missing. If you saw that, it would look strange. If somebody made a painting like that, perhaps we would be upset by it, saying you are disregarding and disrespectful to our Savior. But yet it's possible for me to do that as a believer, when the portion that I have is not a portion that I love. When I don't live in that portion. Understand this. Your call is to express a portion of Christ. Your call and your portion is not a role you play. You must never, and I must never, think of that as a role. If I am a pastor, I do not play the role of a pastor. If I'm a song leader, I don't play the role of a song leader. If I'm a Sunday school teacher, I don't play the role of a Sunday school teacher. I take on the heart of God, and I walk in what He has given. If I'm a pastor, I don't try to be pastor-ish. But that is what happens sometimes. If you ask people, what is a pastor like? And they can actually describe what a pastor is, a little bit high. Not in that sense. But you know what I'm saying? He's higher than me. No, he's not. He is a portion of the body of Christ. He may be the head of the church as a corporate assembly, but it's only for the purpose of order. It's only for the purpose to allow people to grow. He may be very word-filled. He may be very spiritual. What does spiritual look like? He walks around going, a lot. He nods. Isn't that kind of like what people would say, though? What is the pastor like? What if you're not like that? Are you less of a pastor? What if you like bad jokes? Does that make you less of a pastor? What if? What is pastor like? Or any other portion of the body of Christ? What is it like? We are what we are by the grace of God. When a person tries to take on the role of something, it's not going to be successful. And they may make it work through natural effort and simply in the natural realm pull together an organization. I knew a guy who was very good at that. And he even told me that this is what he was doing, because I knew him in Bible college. And he said to me one time that it was a concern to him that he was doing this in his natural ability because of his natural temperament. He was very pastor-like. Several years later, I saw him. He didn't have it in him to say hello because at the time I wasn't ordained. You see, that's a role. We don't role-play. We don't live in a role. Roles are not real. Roles are for actors. There is no role of pastor. There is no role of pastor's wife. There is no role of anything. There is no role that says deacon or Sunday school teacher or song leader or anything. We don't role play. Your portion in the body of Christ is not a role that you play. Your portion in the body of Christ is as you draw near to God, as you get to know Him in your own relationship with Him, in your own communion, as He starts to express Himself to you, He starts to express Himself through you. And then, as He expresses Himself through you, He utilizes the gifts that He has given you to edify the body. It's purely what the Holy Spirit does. It's not something that I pretend to be, and it's not something I pretend to do. That fellow that I told you about no longer has a church. It lasted for some years and then fizzled. And the reason wasn't because he wouldn't have been able. The reason was because he didn't do it right. He would have been able. He was well taught. But he went to it in his natural personality and he played a role. What troubled him was that he loved the role. Now, it's one thing to like being a pastor, but that's not what I'm talking about. It's another thing to like the role, the pastory thing. You see, if a person is a pastor, it's simply because the expression of God that has been given to them flows out through the gifts that have been given to them. But the role is different. If I'm playing a role, I'm trying to act out what is often perhaps a stereotype, at least in my own mind, a concept that I have of what does this look like. when I do that, I may even be able to convince people, because often people, especially in the same ministry, have the same concept of what does this look like. But it's not what it is. It's trying to be an illusion, but illusions have no substance. And so the actual manifestation of the portion is not present. When you enter into your portion, it's all substance if you enter into it in earnestness. Then it's all substance. Pastors' wives, and not in our church is wonderful this way, but pastors' wives frequently have a difficult time, because the body expects the wife to be something according to a religious, perhaps, concept, or what they picture as pastors' wives. And it's more difficult in many ways for pastors' wives, because they're not the pastor. But they can have the same expectation put on them. And so they are almost expected to play a role that they may not have. Years ago, this was an interesting thing. In our ministry, as you guys know, you get to know a lot of pastors. And you get to also meet a lot of pastors' wives thereby. And I remember years ago, there were two pastors' wives who knew each other. And the one woman took care of her family. And she did really very little outwardly in the ministry, but she took care of her family. And she took care of her husband, and she took care of her children, and she made a nice home for them, and she took care of that. What one might say is like the traditional role of the woman in a family. The other woman was very much out there. The other woman was very much in front of people. What struck me as interesting is the other woman, she judged the woman who was at home. And she did not see her as being a sufficient pastor's wife. And she said, the bema seat will show. Yeah, the bema seat will show. The one woman simply took on her portion. The other woman played a role. It was interesting in that judgment, the lack of the fruit of the Spirit, the lack of love that was in that. When the one woman simply loved her family to take care of them, the other woman was up very high profile, relatively speaking, but didn't know the love of God. The one woman was very low profile. You wouldn't know that her husband was a pastor in that sort of a way. You see, when I take on a role, I take on a concept and I try to act out the concept. Never act out a concept. Never take on a role. Express the portion that God has given you by the grace of God. He's given you that portion by His divine unmerited favor, and it becomes manifested as He governs your life. Never take on a role. Do not be something because people want you to be that. Do not be something because you feel in a religious notion that that's what you ought to be. Be what you are by the grace of God. If I simply grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, if I simply am transformed into His image through His Word mixed with faith, if I simply have the fruit of the Spirit, if I keep myself in the love of God, then my portion will come out, because it's the Holy Spirit that will bring it out. And very frequently I won't even be aware that my portion is coming out. I'll just be doing my thing, so to speak, that I enjoy in the body of Christ to edify. And it edifies me as much as it edifies anybody else. And it isn't striving to me. I just like it. I'm good at it, or it comes easy. That's because it's a gift. I cannot be, let's say, Pastor Schaller or Pastor Shibeli, nor would I want to try. Why? Because it's not my portion. If I try to be Pastor Schaller, what would happen to the call that God has on my life? What would happen to the expression of Christ that God has set for me? What would happen, perhaps, to the souls that I was supposed to touch and reach? But I'm more concerned with a role. Don't play roles. God's government in your heart is sufficient for you. God's divine unmerited favor is sufficient for you. You don't need to play a role. I simply love God and I utilize my gifts. Now, today I may utilize a gift and it edifies, and perhaps a little while later I lose it. Maybe I get mad or upset. And then I pull it back, I get right with God, you know, however, I pull it back together a little bit, I calm myself down, and then I use my gift again and utilize it. And I can tell myself, oh, I'm not really worthy because a few hours ago I lost it. That has nothing to do with anything. I am what I am by the grace of God. D.L. Moody had a notorious temper. He would get extremely angry. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. It's not. But this was his besetting weakness. He had a tremendous temper in the home, and it did damage in the home. But did that keep God from using him? No. The fact that I have an area of my life where I am perhaps weak, or maybe I'm not completely grown, that does not keep God from using me. God will use me just because He has chosen me by divine unmerited favor. And that choice will become a manifestation through a divine government in the heart. Is the fact that David was a great king changed by the fact that David was also a man who failed? No, it isn't. Were there consequences for the failure? Yes, it did damage. But that did not stop God from using David. And the result was that David learned grace like no other man had known before or since. This is why it is called the sure mercies of David, because David knew the mercy of God. David knew what it was to be the recipient of the love of God in his most unlovely state. And then David also knew God's character as a result of it. You see, even your mistakes, even your failures, God can redeem. And I'm not saying it's good to fail. It is not. What I am saying is that if I fail, then God can take the curse and turn it into a blessing. If I'm worried about my role, then I won't be able to handle my failure. But if I am what I am by the grace of God, then my failure is meaningless. I am what I am by the grace of God. If I worry about my role, then if I have weakness in my life, I will not be able to carry out my role. But if I am what I am by the grace of God, then my weakness is meaningless. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is okay because apart from Him I can do nothing anyway. Reveal your portion. Live in your portion. Live in your portion. The body of Christ needs your portion. We often don't think of ourselves that way. That's because we do not see ourselves as we actually are. The body of Christ needs your portion. Do you understand what that means, the body of Christ? It's not just a building with people. It is literally the body of God, the Savior. He needs your portion. If my portion is not expressed, maybe God is missing an arm or a voice or an eye. The body of Christ needs your portion. The body of Christ does not need your role. My portion is what the Holy Spirit brings through me as the life of God flows. And that may be high profile or that may be low profile. It really doesn't make any difference so long as it edifies the body of Christ. What is high or low profile anyway? Well, high profile generally means that there are certain periods of time that people look at you. And low profile means that you don't generally have periods of time where most people look at you. Okay. Live in your portion. Express the gifts that God has given you. Don't long for gifts you don't have. And then don't hide the gifts you do have. Express them decently and in order. Have them edify. Have them be a provision for the body. Don't withhold them. If you are a prayer warrior, for example, you may feel like your role, if you don't see it right, like your role is not great. Or you may see your role as it actually is, that your role is profound in its impact on the function of what the body of Christ is capable of doing. I always thought of prayer warriors kind of this way. They are the nervous system. They're not the musculature. They're not the skeletal system. They're the nervous system. They're the ones who do the communicating and get the responses. Pastor Stevens once wrote in one of his booklets, if he took out a team on a foreign field, every time that there would be someone going out soul winning, he would have specific prayer warriors who would not go out. They would stay behind and they would pray. Why? A body without a functioning nervous system is not a body that functions well. But when every joint supplies within the body, the nervous system and the musculature and the digestive system, the circulatory system, when it all functions just so together, the body can accomplish some amazing things. Do not say to yourselves, people don't see me, I want to be seen. People may not see you, but believe me, if you are functioning in your portion, people will experience your effect. On the other hand, maybe people do see you and you don't want to be seen. Let people experience what God has given you for them. Don't withhold it from them. Because God had given it for a reason. A light never gets put under a bushel, right? It doesn't do a whole lot of good if it does. Now, what do we do with the light? We hold it up high. You notice you never hold a candle low to the ground? Why? Because the light is obstructed. You hold it up high so that you can see well. It's like that with our portion. We hold it in the proper place for the portion to be manifested. Korah said, "I am not enough. I am better than this role." And when he tried to take on more than what God had given, it didn't go well. The results were bad. Paul, on the other hand, for a short season thought, "This is too much. I'm not that kind of a man." He had to get rid of that thought very quickly. Because it wasn't about either one of them who they were as men. It was about the calling of God. Be faithful to truth. Just be faithful to truth. Don't let anyone dissuade you from that. Be faithful to truth. What is the truth? The mind of God. And if you are faithful to the mind of God, your portion will be revealed. Be faithful to the Holy Spirit. Be faithful to the finished work. In the world, people say, "No finished work." And Christians can say to themselves, "In the world, there is no finished work, but in my religious life, there is finished work." Somebody just cut you in half then. It's all the finished work. In the world and in your so-called religious life, there is no difference. The portion that a person has is not expressed only sometimes. Oh, maybe you don't sing all the time, or maybe you don't preach all the time, or maybe you're not in front of children teaching Sunday school all the time, or whatever your portion happens to be. But that which is the essence of that portion never stops. If I take on a role, I will say, "Okay, for this season of time, this is who I am." And then after these 2 hours, I am no longer that. That's not how it is with God. God doesn't change depending on His address. God doesn't change if I am in the church building, or if I am on the street, or in the car, or any other place. God in me does not change. Truth does not change. The finished work never changes. Hold on to your portion. By that, I don't mean play the role, but I mean hold on to that which is the essence of it. Hold on to the mind of God. Hold on to a life in the Spirit. Hold on to being conformed to His image, to humility and grace, to mercy. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Hold on to those things. If you hold on to them, your portion will simply come out. You don't have to produce it. It's already there. It just needs to be allowed out. It needs to be energized by God. And then I just get out of the way. Never lose sight of the reality that God has established. And never allow worldliness or the world to sway you from it. Pastor Stevens used to hate writing recommendation letters because people would want him to operate apart from the finished work. And so even when he had a difficult time with people, he would stay faithful to the finished work and he would write them this great letter because he would stay faithful to the finished work. This is why he was the pastor. It wasn't a role that he put down for circumstances. It was simply the expression of Christ coming out of that man in his unique portion. This is how we live as believers. We have the expression of Christ come through without a single role played. But in all the details of my life, I allow the expression of Christ to come through. I allow the finished work to come through. I allow the government of God to come through. I live by the unmerited favor of God. And then I live in my portion. I don't pick it up at 1 hour and lay it down in the next. It simply is who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me. Learn to live in your portion. Because the body needs it. Learn to live in your portion because you need it. This is who we are as the body of Christ. We are every joint that supplies. From whom the Word of God says in Ephesians 4 verse 16, and it's talking about Christ, from whom the body, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is your portion. By the way, loyalty is to God. Loyalty is to God. And as an extension, it's to God's body. If I am loyal, I am loyal to truth, which is the finished work of Christ. Don't allow your loyalty to be placed elsewhere. Loyalty is to God and His body. I never see a believer and an unbeliever the same way. And though I may not be unkind to the unbeliever in order to win them to Christ, I never see a believer and an unbeliever the same way. Why? Because they are of a different kingdom. They are of a different kingdom. In some ways, you could compare the body of Christ to like the old Irish clans. Of a different clan. Of a different kingdom. Hopefully, we can win them But until that time, I never see them the same. That's not saying to be unkind in any way to the unbeliever. But in my estimation, the believer has greater value. Although the soul of the unbeliever is worth all the world. Why? Because it's kingdom. Have you ever seen, perhaps, or experienced where you met people who were in a war, and you have two soldiers of the same nationality, let's say two American soldiers who don't know each other, but they come across each other on the battlefield, and the loyalty that they have there, and the one, the kinship of sorts, of the oneness of purpose and desire and mind. And though maybe they don't even like each other on a personal level, they would, like at home, they wouldn't necessarily be friends, but on the battlefield there is a oneness. They don't see the fellow soldier from the same from America as they would perhaps another from a different country. This is one of their own kind. It's like that with the body of Christ. The world, the unbeliever, is not of the same kind. Hopefully some will become of the same kind, and this is one of our major purposes in life, to preach the gospel and to win the lost. But they're not of the same kingdom. My loyalty is far greater to the body than to the world. It must be. Why? Because it's the body of Christ. If I am to be loyal to the head, I must be loyal to the body also. I don't get loyal to the tree the way that I am loyal to my arm. It's a different kingdom. And I have a place in that kingdom. As a matter of fact, God has prepared for eternity that I have both a place as a portion and then a place as an abode within that kingdom. Know your portion and live in it. Don't say to yourself, my portion should be like this other one. Because a man with two right hands is not a man who can work well. Know your portion in the body of Christ and live in it. And let God express through that portion, and it'll edify you. And it'll edify the body. Amen.